Hello, folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And you can also listen on CFRC.ca.
That's so
true.
The
greatest website in existence, as I say every week.
We just heard Prism Shores with their track Sudden Sting. Before that, we heard Goodwill Suck Machine with their...
What?
I don't know.
I didn't read the playlist before.
Yeah. With their song Slowdown. It's a pretty good band title.
That's the band name?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And at the top, we heard a brand spanker from Sierra Ferrell. That was The Garden.
Mm-hmm. I can't get over that. I'm sorry. I'm really stuck on that band name. Anyway... Movies,
okay,
folks. Okay, we saw
Anora. We're in 2025. Oh, yes. We did.
Best
folks, it was
movie
good.
Ever. Literally so good.
Very
I actually good.
Very
feel
well edited.
That it is in my top 10 movies of all time.
Wow.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
And maybe you will watch it and not like it at all. But for me, great story, great editing, great cinematography, great acting from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just... It, like, emotionally hit me. I thought it was a great, great, great movie.
Yeah,
so.
It's fun. It's, like, a lot of fun and, like, has these moments of devastation.
And it's really funny and really sad and,
yeah.
like, literally just great. Just great.
Yeah, but, like, after, like, once the act one ended, I was like, oh, this is going to get really dark. And to an extent, it gets darker, but, like, they really, like, nail, like, the tone shift.
Yeah.
And, like, still keep it, like... I don't want to say light, but like entertaining and engaging and not horrifically depressing.
Yeah, and I read a lot of Letterboxd comments and a lot of people didn't like it. And it seems to me that all of them are children and I disagree with mm-hmm. them and I think they're dumb. And I know that that's not fair and people can like different things about movies. But everyone's main critique seems to be that it is not a character study. But to me... There are other kinds of movies. It doesn't have to be a character study. I think that the fact that it's called Anora is really getting some people hung up on the fact that, like, Anora is not as explored as they, like, wanted it to be. They didn't delve into her, like, inner life as much as they could have. But, like, you don't need to do that to make a good movie. But apparently the director did say that it was a character study, which is, like, a bonkers thing for him to say because it is not. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think maybe that was hanging some people up, but it was a great movie.
No, like the theme that was hit on again and again by these children was that Anora needed to like have a scene where she like looked in a mirror and sang like an I Want song, like she's Moana. But that the movie wasn't supposed to be giving you that.
Yeah.
You had to sort of infer what she wanted based on how she acted and the way her face looked.
Yeah.
Which is too much to ask for, again, children.
Yeah, so I'm being a full hater, but I really liked the
movie. No, you're being a
lover.
And
you know when you like something and then you read people's comments and they don't like it, which is normally 99.9% of the time, I'm the person that doesn't like it. And I know everyone hates
it. If Anora has zero fans, I am dead.
But I'm like, no, everyone that disagrees with me is wrong.
That's right.
But anyway, Oscars are coming out. So we're seeing a lot of movies. I also watched the Bob Dylan movie.
Yes.
It was okay. I thought it was good, but not great. Also, I had literally just watched Anora, which I thought was amazing. So then I go and see the Bob Dylan movie and I'm like, okay, this is how you make a mid movie. But
yeah, James Mangold, king of the mid movie.
But, you know, it was enjoyable. I like love Bob Dylan's music and all the songs in the movie were very enjoyable. And I thought Timothy Chalamet, whatever, did a great job. So that's on that.
Jack Lamat.
But yeah, just for me, the story was not as engaging as Anora because, you know, it was real life. Boo, boring. Anyway, that's my take on movies.
They did Pete Seeger and Johnny Cash dirty from what you said.
Yeah, I don't know very much about Pete Seeger or Johnny Cash's real personalities, but I felt that they were a little cartoony in the Bob Dylan movie. Mm-hmm. Like, Pete Seeger was literally like Mr. Dress Up. Who's the American version of Mr. Dress Up? Like the one that Tom Hanks plays in the movie. Mr.
Rogers.
Oh, yeah. He was like literally Mr. Rogers. He was like in a cardigan being like, I love everyone. Like, play your acoustic music. Like, ooh, peace and love on planet Earth. Which I'm sure is like what he was like. But I was like, come on. I mean, you got to be a little bit more of this guy. And Johnny Cash was literally just drunk and stumbling around and like not being helpful the whole movie.
King.
But yeah.
Up next, folks, we've got Oaklue and Blady together at last with their track Take Me By The Hand. Here we go.
With an open door again, somewhere less lonely tonight, only away from life. Lost there, layers of dust, hiding a touch of light, touching out.
Take me by the hand. Inspiration sent with an open door again.
Yeah. If only I had listened enough, would have heard the words you whispered. Only a reflection of us could have worsened the situation.
Keep going. kitchen floor. This house is half crazy. Dad's always drinking. Nobody's listening. No one seems to care.
Folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake-Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Purple, that's a track by Wonder Horse. Before that, we heard Brya Salmina with their track Stretch the Struggle. And right at the top, we heard Oklu and Blady with Take Me by the Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, I've got some terrible news if you like goofy, rompy musicals. Apparently, Hugh Jackman is going to play Wolverine in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for the next 10 years.
Oh.
Another 10 years of being Wolverine.
Hasn't he already been Wolverine for like 20 years?
Yeah, since like 2001, 2002, the first X-Men movie came out, I think.
What?
Yeah.
So he's like, he's lifetime Wolverine. That's his job.
That's just what he is. He is Wolverine. You gotta feel bad for the guy. Like, obviously, they're like putting a dump truck full of money onto his lawn.
Yeah, and it probably honestly takes them, like, I'm just slandering Marvel here, but like 5 seconds to make a
movie. Oh,
you
no,
know?
Yeah.
They get them to stand in front of the green screen room and take each line really
once. Like a month, in like an air-conditioned studio at the most. But yeah, apparently they want a Deadpool and Wolverine trilogy.
What?
So,
okay. It made a lot of money,
and that's true. But like Deadpool and Wolverine was like the end of the Deadpool trilogy, but then we're just gonna get like another two? I don't know. It's so depressing. And like,
I liked Logan. That's the only Wolverine movie I've ever seen, I think.
Well, and like Logan like had meaning mostly because it was like, this is the last Wolverine movie, and like it's Hugh Jackman like grappling with that legacy, and like, you know, what, like this character literally actually dying, spoilers for Logan. But it's like, nothing can stay dead. No one can grow or change or like have sort of any sort of meaningful, even in the realm of comic book movies, which mean nothing in our four children.
Well, I think they saw that like Robert Downey Jr. stopping being Iron Man, and then the other like Marvel movies have been doing really bad, so they're like, you know what, we'll just keep doing that one thing that everyone likes forever.
They're realizing that it's not so much the strength of the IP as it is the strength of the actual actors that they have. It's pretty depressing, pretty bleak. Can you imagine, like, how old is Hugh Jackman now? You look this up while I vamp. And because like my man, like I'm just imagining like a 65-year-old Jackman like on gear.
He's
like,
56 right
he's
now.
He's 50. Yeah, so 66. He's going to be playing Wolverine. He's like going to be like on so like his blood is going to be like 50% steroids. it's like elder abuse at this point.
Oh my god, 56-year-olds are not elders.
66 is going to be elder abuse.
Okay. Well, not really for famous people because they have so much money. They can 66 is like a normal person's 28-year-old. So.
Tell this to Bruce Willis, man. That's what I say.
Anyway, what do we have up next?
Up next, we've got that's an excellent question. Oh, we've got Grapetooth with their track. You picked this. What was this track called?
Dean broke Spotify.
I broke it.
Hangover Square.
Hangover Square. Here we go, folks.
Looking well can move her. Feels exactly like a great idea.
And we try to sit still and feel it all, but we'd rather run away than feel it all, you know. I can't say no. Doing everything we can to increase the noise, and we don't care if it's trash that fills the void, you know. I can't say no. Come and steal a car with me.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake-Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Jelly Bean by Justin Rutledge. Before that, we heard The Wombats, Can't Say No. That's a brand spanker from that band. And then we heard Grapetooth with their song Hangover Square right at the top. And now it is time for our Isopanisad Radio Minute. This is the part of the show where we talk about a Mountain Goat song for longer than the Mountain Goat song runs. This week, we are looking at From We Shall All Be Healed, The Young Thousands. A highly overlooked, underrated track, in my opinion. And if you're looking for a band name, if you're a young entrepreneur looking to start your own band, you could go a lot wronger than The Young Thousands. I feel like that's a great name. This is a song about people trying to score drugs, as this whole album is about. The various symbols and omens that they see in front of their face. They understand that they're going down the wrong path, and that there are ghosts haunting their hallways. That there are all these sordid little scenes in living color, as he said, that are waiting for them. But what other choice do they have but to come, as the Young Thousands do? There's a lyric in particular here. There is someone waiting out there with a mouthful of surprises. JD has spoken to the fact that if you're trying to score heroin, and you've got some and you're, you know, just getting back to your hovel or wherever, you'll just keep it tucked in your cheek as you're like driving home or whatever. So that way, if a cop pulls you over, you can just swallow it and then you don't go to prison. I'll just leave you just briefly with this little bit from the City Winery. This was a little patter that JD gave in 2016 introducing the song. He said, "If you, and I hope you don't, but if you find yourself in Costa Mesa and you need to buy heroin and you find yourself parked between two duplexes waiting for the dude, hoping that a policeman doesn't pull up behind you because you'd have to back out to leave the alley between the duplexes, if you find yourself in this situation, then I'm thinking of you. I'd like to dedicate this song to that alley in Costa Mesa. Here is The Young Thousands by the Mountain Goats."
Boat season to the harbor, bearing real suspicious cargo, and the sunlight on the water sets a switch off in your brain. The things that you've got coming will consume you. There's someone waiting out there in an alley with a chain. The ghosts that haunt your building are prepared to take on substance, and the dull pain that you live with isn't getting any duller. There's a closet full of almost pristine videotape, documenting sordid little scenes in living color. Here they come, The Young Thousands. Here they come, The Young Thousands. You drive east from the ocean with both hands tied on the wheel, and you go past Garden Grove as the pleasure index rises. The things that you've got coming will do things that you're afraid of. There is someone waiting out there with a mouthful of surprises. For a sign. There must be diamonds somewhere in a place that stinks this bad. There are brighter things than diamonds coming down the line. Here they come, the young.
Signals come in, and all that passes forever.
Hello, folks, and goodbye. Thank you for hanging out with us this lovely Tuesday morning, as always. We just heard Young Lions by Constantines. Before that, we heard a new Weather Station track that's called Mirror. And right at the top, we heard the Mountain Goats, The Young Thousands.
Mm-hmm. We played some great music this week.
I
hope
sure did.
Everyone liked it as much as I did. And I hope you hang out with us again next week.
Yeah, we'll be right here. Until then, though, we've got some new Inhaler for you, A Question of You, and then I think we'll have time to play Palace, another new track for you. It's called Greyhound. So here we go, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, folks.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Desire. Now about that vibe, remember? You got scared and changed your voice. Turn right from a man into a boy. You turn back though, stay mad though, 'cause I always go back and forth. Spinal cord, a little full. It's heroin, I'm giving it.
KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM present a stacked lineup of shows this January and February at the Broom Factory, featuring a mix of big-name acts and some local favorites. On January 18th, don't miss Canadian alt-rock duo Mountain Head. January 24th features local indie rock outfit Cassador. On January 26th, Bedouin Soundclash takes the stage. February 7th sees Busty and the Bass come to town. And on February 19th, it's a special Wednesday night rock show with headliners Dear Rouge. For additional information and to buy tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
Calling all SGPS members, CFRC 101.9 FM is going to referendum this year to seek continuance of its optional student fee. Help your campus radio station.